joining the crew at the Geek Tank. At the Geek Tank, the Rocky Mountain Geek Tank.
Hi, I'm Guy.
Hi, I'm Troy.
And this is Geek Tank on the Go.
We are on the go ourselves right now. We are at MauCon.
Myths and Legends Con.
And I want to say it's their third one, but the truth is it's a mystery to us.
Which makes it a myth, a mythological mystery.
A mystery.
Myth direction.
So it's focus is a little small convention, sci-fi-ish. They're 4 points, I'd say, that they try to hit fairly generalizing Doctor Who.
Yep.
And that's all the Doctors from back in the 60s to now.
Yep.
Did it start before the 60s?
Nope.
Okay.
64.
Okay. And
63, 64.
The Firefly universe.
Firefly Serenity.
They also cover Harry Potter universe.
Yep.
And they cover the Game of Thrones universe. Those are the ones they cover the most. There's other stuff here as well. But if you're a fan of one of those four, this is a convention you should come to.
Right. And by the time you hear this, it'll be over. But it'll be here next year.
360-ish days from now, it'll be very timely.
Yep. Yes. And it'll be great. So yeah, it's a smaller convention, which I like these smaller conventions. Sometimes,
but even
too.
Though it's smaller, you had an interesting experience when you got here earlier.
Yeah, I mean, I've been running into buddies of mine.
Lots and lots of
buddies of mine, and we were actually discussing how, in fact, my buddies and I were discussing how we are constantly running into each other. I mean, I run into my my Attack Wing crew, some of the people I play Attack Wing with. But I've also run into fellow artists who we talk about a lot. And
being extroverts, that's an aspect of conventions that is hard to get when you go to places now like Denver Comic Con, where there's so many people.
Yeah.
And now, to a large degree, NDK.
Yeah.
Nandesukan.
Yep.
Nandesukan. Mm-hmm. I like to put a Nanu in there for Mork.
Mork. It's his memorial.
It is. I remember my first days of conventioning back when I was a teenager, going to RiverCon, which no longer exists.
Right.
That's a convention that's been long gone. And it had very much the same feel as MauCon, maybe about one-fifth the size larger.
My first convention, of course, was Starfest, which was at the time called StarCon. But it's the same. It's the same. There's actually a story behind that, why nobody calls it the Wrath of Khan. There's no convention called the Wrath of Khan.
Yep.
And that's because that one was such a disaster that everybody considers that a bad name now.
Yes.
There was one in like 85 or something, and it was like the worst convention ever. Everything went wrong. The guests caught fire, all kinds of whatever. Anyway, so there's no such thing as a Wrath of Khan, which would be a shoe-in for the name for a Star Trek convention, but isn't.
It's become the Macbeth.
It's become the Macbeth of the conventions. But yeah, but the StarCon was pretty big, even when it was here. I mean, when I was going, it was at the Clarion, which was near the airport. And even then, it was a relatively large convention. Mm-hmm. This is a very smallish convention. I don't feel like it's as big, you know?
Right.
I really like this convention's size. It's like Mile High Con, which is another small convention, which is a lot of fun to go to. But you're right, that's the aspect, right?
It goes to prove that not everything has to be huge to be great, I suppose.
Yeah.
The old adage.
Yeah,
it's a bite-sized convention.
It is. And this convention specifically, all the same players are here, so to speak. I meet my fellow artists, friends. I meet people who are working on the Attack Wing game with me, and you know, I meet a bunch of buddies who worked other conventions and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
They were all there at Comic-Con, but I didn't see any of them.
Right.
You know, because there were so many people.
Yeah, the only people I saw that I knew were people I intentionally looked for in areas I knew they would be.
Right.
For instance, we have a friend, Mo. Who sells toys and such, and we knew where his booth was, so we intentionally looked for him to say hi.
Right.
And in fact, I bought some stuff from him. I think you bought stuff from him too, didn't you?
Yeah. No, I didn't. I've been broke.
Ah, you hate him.
I hate him.
I love him twice then.
Yeah, you love him for both of us. But I mean, as an example, we were trying to find.
Right.
She's a super geek. We spent like an hour back and forth trying to find her.
Hovering around the podcast central.
Yeah, because she's another podcaster. And we knew she'd be there, and we were texting, or
there's technically two girls for She's a Super Geek. Right. We were looking for the one that we knew.
Yeah, our buddy. But yeah, I mean,
plan is to make the other one a buddy as well.
But we haven't met her yet, so.
Yeah.
But we figure she'll be a buddy someday.
Hopefully.
We spent forever, and we were both attempting really hard to hook back up and connect. And it was so difficult.
And because the reception in that place is horrible for phones, it was really hard to coordinate over Facebook or texting.
We were tweeting. We were Twittering back and forth, which was funny, I think. Actually, I found that particularly humorous.
It was wacky.
It was a very, very public discussion of where are you?
So where are you?
Which was great. I mean, it was funny.
I did not run into anybody that I knew by accident at that place.
I ran into only about 5 or 6 people.
I take that back. There was the lovely couple who headed up the media team for Starfest.
Starfest
media team. I did run into them by accident. They're the only people I ran into. Pleasant to run into them again, but but that was last day, Sunday, and we were there Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Oh yeah.
Or no, I mean sorry, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. No, they did a Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Saturday, Sunday.
It's such a bizarre schedule that they did.
It really was. But I mean, I ran into a handful of people from NDK.
Mm-hmm.
That was about it. Who, you know, that was that infamous story of, oh, so you're working for Geek Tank? I'm like, yeah, I'm working for Geek Tank.
Yeah, good thing the guys that created it like me.
Yeah.
Or at least one of them does.
Yeah, well. The beautiful one.
Yeah.
The
good looking one hates you, is what I've heard. So,
anyway.
So, but that's the nice thing about these cons. And now I've not had this experience, but I've heard another pro for these cons. Haha, a pro for the cons. If you're from out of state and you attend a con, you get this sort of family that you see every once a year that you look forward to seeing too, unlike the family you see at Thanksgiving. So you.
Which, just eat the turkey.
Right. And so you have this whole interesting experience of attending a convention and looking forward to that once a year gathering of friends that you only see then.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking down now on the floor. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I know 9 people down there. And these are all people whom are regulars at these conventions. Mm-hmm. They say hi to me, I say hi to them. So it is kind of nice to get kind of that family effect.
Yes. I guess we should head on up to our first break of the podcast here.
Yeah. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is Walter Koenig, and you're watching Rocky Mountain Geek Tank.
And we're back.
We're back.
So I didn't get here as early as you did, and I was running around making last minute preparations because I was asked to run a murder mystery for Malcon. And I sort of ran one. We ran one as a team last year. I wrote it and organized the stuff and handed it off to you because I couldn't be here.
I GM'd it.
Yep. And so you ran it as the referee, and we had our cosplay expert, Allison, was the first time.
We'd
never met her, and I still hadn't met her. I'd only talked to her on Facebook and text messages.
He still hasn't met her.
Yeah. I think there's video footage disproving that now. But she played Cersei. I ran a Game of Thrones murder then, and this time around I was asked to run a Harry Potter murder mystery, which I think went really well.
I do, too. I'm always impressed by what people will do in the middle of these games. I always assume that when you start these things, everybody's just going to sit there and twiddle their thumbs.
It's always a fear that the people who are supposed to be playing it as an audience and taking an active role in it are not going to take an active role and just try to be an audience member.
Right.
And so that's a risk you run with these. So at the beginning, when someone comes in and wants to play, you have to be very clear up front. Well, are you an extrovert? Do you like live-action role-playing games or even tabletop role-playing games? You're going to it's going to help a lot if you're vocal and you really get into your character and play them. So I try to dissuade the introverts that are not willing to take the risk to jump out. I want introverts to get into break out of their shell, but I don't want introverts that aren't willing to do that tonight type right. thing. I need my extroverts to come out and play characters, or my very daring introverts.
Yeah, and because sometimes introverts will have cycles.
Right.
Like, there was we hauled one of our notorious introverts in our group in, and she did pretty good, I think, actually.
Yeah, well, it wasn't her first time on stage.
No, it wasn't.
So, although she leads an introverted life, she has an extrovert hiding in her.
She does.
That screams to get out and gets shushed by the introvert. Like a librarian. And, two player characters that were very introverted, and one of them at least realized in the first 10 minutes, I'm not good at this. Would you please pass this off to someone else? So I was luckily able to hand it off to someone else, because I had multiple people who could not play. There were about 20 to 30 people in the room, and I had only written 10 player characters.
Wow.
And now, if you realize how long it took for the detective to interview 10 characters.
Yeah, it took a long time.
And we only had a 2-hour time limit for this game, so there's no way I could logistically have more player characters than
that's
that.
That's right, yeah.
Unless if it's like the detective is on the caffeine buzz and is interviewing them super fast.
Well, that's what we didn't do.
Yeah. So next time we need to run a DC-themed game with the Flash as the detective. And the Flash has to interview everybody.
Yeah,
30-second interviews. But it went well. And the poor other guy who was an introvert, one of the other very extroverted players, kept saying, "Well, you had to have done it because you're not saying anything."
Yeah.
And so, which...
I felt bad for him, too, because he was like, I'm not saying anything.
Yep. But it was...
And she was picking on him for
She was. But it didn't seem like he was that... messed up by the encounter.
Seemed to be taking it rather well. So.
Luckily, it was a cute female, and I think he enjoyed the attention.
Yeah,
which is good.
I think you're right.
So the we had a good friend of ours, Sonny, play who gets the nickname of the character who dies is usually called Mr. Body, and that's a little sexist because it doesn't mean that it's not a female that gets killed.
Right.
Mr. Body is just the all around term used
name.
For whoever dies. I have found that when I was writing this murder mystery that I was leaning towards not having a female get killed, and I had to ask myself why. And I had this sort of thing of what happened to you, of having you drew a dead female victim in your webcomic, Tamerlan.
Mm-hmm.
Is it USS Tamerlan or Starship Tamerlan?
It's USS Tamerlan.
USS Tamerlan.
Yeah.
And
she wasn't dead, but she was chained up.
Okay, I thought there was a dead body at one that you got a lot of grief
no,
over.
No, I got flack because I used the old trope of the chained up or dead body.
Okay.
Dead woman. It's called like beautiful...
Damsel?
No, beautiful death or something like that. But the idea is that you use a pretty woman as a dead corpse to start the story.
I think part of that was hiding in the back of my head, and it made me make the call to make sure it was a male victim. Which is an interesting thing because, in a way, that's sort of sexist to not allow equality
right.
for both sexes to be a victim. And then I'm like, well, why am I making this decision? And it's like, well, this is Harry Potter, and there's a fine line I have to walk between PG, PG-13. With the Game of Thrones, I did a fine walk between PG-13 and rated R because
right.
it's Game of Thrones.
It's Game of Thrones, right.
So that was an interesting thing. But then when I had written it, it was easy. I had a female as the murderess for it, and it was fun to write.
Yeah, I wonder. I was thinking about that when you were talking about Mr. Body. One of the things that I've always kind of liked about there was a Navy tradition for a long time that you were Mr. and Sir, regardless of whether you were male or female, and it was just totally genderless, and it didn't mean anything. It was and then Star Trek adapted it. For a while there, and then unadapted it with Catherine Janeway, which really irritated me.
They should have gone the other way and called everybody Mrs. and Ma'am.
There you go.
Regardless, because even though it kind of ungenders it, it's still gendered.
It's still gendered, but I've thought about that a lot too. And generally speaking, that's an interesting choice to make to degenderize it.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting type of, you know, what's the choice that you've made to do that?
Right.
I carry that with Tamerlan in my comic. They call each other Sir, they call each other Mr., regardless of whether they're male or female, even though the captain is obviously female. And, you know, it's just the way it goes. But I find that it's interesting. It comes a point where you can't pull the sexism out of our language.
Right.
It's all in there, so embedded. Well, so what do you do with it?
Some languages, like German, has genders for the words you're using, and therefore your words like the for das, der, and die, you have a neutral of male and a female, and so every word gets either a neutral gender or it's male or female gender.
Yeah, but then you get the weird things like male airplanes and female cars and weird stuff like
and
that.
And if you don't grow up with the language, that is a really hard thing to memorize.
That's really tough to memorize.
Did they do that in Japanese? I can't remember. I didn't think
There's no gender. And there's no gender in the language.
I don't remember the word "the" being in the language.
There is. It's a different structure. The language is structured.
I studied one semester, so
right,
and that was back when I was a young Padawan. So I don't have that knowledge anymore.
The way Japanese works is it's marked at the end. Everything's marked at the end. So you'd say "house the," instead of "the house." It's really everything sort of marked at the end. So it comes up with a different, and it's kind of. And instead of the, it's really, it's like anything. It's a very alien language to us romantic speakers.
And I should asterisk this point of the conversation to point out to new viewers, this is a classic rabbit hole that we do very well. We started talking about a convention, then started talking about murder mysteries, then started talking about gender, and now we've gone all the way into the Japanese and putting the at the end of it. So if you enjoy this, you are at the right show. If you don't enjoy this, then you should write us at...
questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com.
That is
questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com.
I'm sorry, I did not hear you.
questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com.
And let us know that you do not like our rabbit holing. Yep. Or you could say, we love your rabbit holing, you should hold more rabbits.
Or you could just say, you know what, we don't really care either way, we love you, and that'd be fine.
Or the death threats, I guess.
You could death threat
I've never gotten a death threat. I don't feel like I'm popular enough to deserve death threats.
Yeah, I don't think we're popular enough to have
I know
death
someone
threats.
Who would send me a death threat. I know two someones, but they're really one person that embodied by two people. But it seems like they have one mind between them.
That's something I don't think I've ever experienced.
Oh.
Like quantum entangled twins.
What about a Depp threat?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
If you don't straighten up, we're going to sick Johnny Depp on you.
Yeah. Or we're going to put you below a certain number of depths in the water.
I don't think I could fathom that.
No, me neither. We'll see where it goes.
Hmm.
So, murder mystery, good.
Murder mystery was good.
I didn't know as much. I haven't read the books Harry Potter. I've read maybe the first half of the first book.
And
watched all the movies. And I think we talked about that. Yeah, we did talk about that in one of our podcasts about movies versus books and how that I was so
read all of the
I was
books.
So confused. So I did a lot of research for this murder mystery to make sure I hit the things because I knew fans would be there, and I didn't want to. I wanted to put enough little treats and Easter eggs in there for them to catch. And so I learned more in the past couple of weeks about Harry Potter than I expected to know.
Yeah.
So
it actually sounded very good, and I noticed. That was one of the things I noticed that I was very impressed with. Everybody stayed in timeline, which I thought was fascinating. You had set it before the fourth book.
Yes.
And so people, when they would... And Harry Potter was a referred-to character.
Yep.
And people were referring to him in the proper age, in the proper... That was pretty impressive.
It was. And I had actually written for one of the characters. The whole plot was... The Triwizard Tournament was being debated on whether it should come back or not. And it's because in the Goblet of Fire, the whole big thing is the Triwizard Tournament is brought back. And I saw a dinosaur I had to look at. It had a rocket pack.
Yeah, we have a rocket pack dinosaur. It's awesome. It's
the things you see at conventions.
I love conventions.
So the Harry Potter is 14 years old at that time. And... he was a fourth-year student. And one of the things I'd written for one of the characters to suggest as a change to make the Triwizard Tournament safer was to institute the 17 or over age limit for age of wizarding. And to my surprise, one of the players actually jumped on that early and came up with that suggestion themselves. So I had to write in the player's notes to give credit to them for that idea now. So,
yeah.
But yeah, they were right on top of a lot of that was going on. That was a lot of fun. A lot of fun payoff for me for writing that.
Right, and they didn't mess it up. They didn't, like, miss it. They, you know, it was really, I was pretty impressed.
It was fun. And you recorded some of it, so we'll see what footage we can slap together to stick on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, we'll refer to it at least.
Yes.
So we're coming up on...
already? Okay. That's our next break.
Our next break.
Someone clapped. Someone clapped for us.
Yeah,
like, far away.
Clap for us. So yeah, we'll be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Amanda Tapping. I played Colonel Carter in Stargate SG-1. Geek Tank, so beautiful and sexy. Stay tuned.
And we're back.
Yep, right back where we left ourselves. Amazingly enough, as we were in the last place we looked.
Yeah. Well, the second part was definitely a rabbit hole.
Whee!
Yeah, we were... Whoa! We were doing far worse than Alice.
It doesn't help with the cosplayers going by and...
Yeah, it's very distracting to be here, but it's wonderfully distracting.
Great work.
You get to see the creativity and the wonderfulness and the awesomeness.
And I'm noticing that the dragon, or the, I'm sorry, the T-Rex with the jetpack is remote controlled. Just started going off right now.
Yeah, it's doing something. So we've got Kevin over there taking pictures of it.
Yes.
So we'll post some pictures up on our Facebook page when it comes in, because it is really rather adorable and awesome.
The Rexketeer.
So
we have coming up, and I can't see the clock from here, but it looks like a half hour. I'm going to be running a role-playing game that I in a system I've never ran before. I've read up on it.
Right. I mean, obviously, it's terrifying to go in and run a game if you've never read it.
Right. But it's still terrifying doing it having never done it before.
Well, and without your core group. I mean, you're not doing it with us.
It's all new players. I've never met any of them.
Yep.
So it'll be very interesting. It's a game called Dread, and I saw it on a tabletop by Will Wheaton. I love that show. And it's instead of dice, you use a Jenga tower or a similar block tower game. And so when you have a player making... attribute test or a skill check, they have to draw a certain number of blocks based on how well their characters statistically should perform that.
Right.
So if they fail and the tower falls, it is fatal and their character dies. It's an all or nothing style thing. You know, you can give up drawing the block if you get too scared and just fail at whatever it was you were trying to do without a fatal result.
Right.
The interesting aspect is you can also tank it. Haha, Geek Tank.
Geek
on
Tank it.
On purpose. You have to announce before you do it, though, that you're going to do it. You can't just knock the tower over and say, oh, wait a minute, I meant to do that. You can heroically die and have a really good outcome happen for the players. So you take one for the team, essentially. So if the tower's getting to a point that you think the next person who pulls it, there's no way they're going to succeed, you can intentionally... You get to add an aspect of the story, so you get to, for a moment, to become the storyteller at the cost of your character's death.
This is very much like I'm loving this new wave of alternative role-playing. I mean, it's not just the straightforward throw dice, write character sheets.
It's getting away from the min-maxing of the statistics and the numbers, which is brilliant, because for those of us who prefer the storytelling aspect... You don't really want all of that stuff there.
And we were talking about this the other day. Even inside our role-playing group, we've got quite diverse people. Kevin is very much a numbers and lists person.
It's my assumption, and he can either nod or shake his head at this, and I will pass it on, is that it's something solid. It's a structure that he can look at and understand.
Yep.
And he's nodding his head in favor. And that was my interpretation of it. And
Alex, who's in the game,
I would say he's either on tier or a step below, but he really gets into looking at that aspect of things as well. But he is an excellent role player, too.
Oh, yeah.
So it's...
I keep thinking back to your steampunk game, which I want to go back to, where he's playing Nikolai Tesla.
Yes, and he spent
weeks... And he does
weeks,
it with a Russian accent.
He spent weeks researching his biography, so he had...
He knows his character
quirks.
Inside and out.
It's like character character study for acting.
Yeah. I mean, he just... And that's the kind of... He's very intense.
Yes.
But everything Alex does is very intense. It fits his personality.
I'm going to eat this burger now. I brought my specialized ketchup and mustard sent to me from Australia.
Yeah.
And I'm not joking about some of this.
No, no.
But man, he like, here, try this ketchup. And then you're hooked on that ketchup forever. You're like, why did you ruin me to Heinz? Now I accept no other ketchup in the world.
And none of this is mocking.
We love these things about him. It's not just that.
I mean, it was the same thing for Kevin.
Yep.
I think this is what makes our party, our gaming night, so interesting.
The diversity.
Everybody's diverse. Me, I'm not really that rulesy. I don't care about the rules, but I draw. Mm-hmm. So I'll draw whenever I'm doing that. And as long as I can draw, or I've been chronicling the games, or whatever, you know, whatever it is, I like doing that while they're arguing over rule number 46B. I'm okay with that, and that makes me feel good.
Sure.
But I'm not a real rules person. Just tell me what I need to roll, and I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I've always been.
I fall somewhere in the middle.
You fall in the middle.
A little more towards storytelling than statistics, but not that far from the statistics side. I like systems that I can grasp after a few passes.
Yeah.
Some systems are just so hard that they don't hook me, and then I shy away from that. And I'm like, I just want to shoot them. What do I need a roll to shoot them type thing?
Yeah. And well, that's what I was thinking. That's why I've been really fascinated by Lasers and Feelings. Mariah's
I still need to play that game.
Yeah, you still need
I've
to
not
play
played
it.
It yet.
It's really, really hard. It's like 1 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper.
I have to interject here, too. I took my son to a birthday party at Laser Tag, and I took a picture of it and sent it to... she's a super geek, and said, you know, lasers and fillings, and they said you get a 5 in lasers.
Yeah.
And
you're like, I don't know what that
means.
Well,
I've read the rules. I just haven't played it. So I knew that I have 0 fillings and 5 in lasers.
Right.
So I'm really good at lasers.
But I... Sorry. And Mariah, my wife, Mariah is really getting into Fate, which is another one that Super Geek got us onto.
Nice.
And
that's capitals with dots in them because F A T.
No, it's just all capitals. But
okay,
she got the short book, which it's another one of those
short bus
it's
book.
It's like a short bus book. It's a short, small rule book. It's not big.
Right.
So I mean, you can get the big rule book, which goes into all kinds of elaborate detail. Or you can run the one that's like 40 pages, and that's it, and it's on the small format, and there's not much in it. And we're really into this idea of running lightweights sometimes, because we're playing currently a Pathfinder game.
And we're playing it by all the rules.
And yeah, it is loaded up to the gills, and it's making Kevin and Alex happy as clams. And that's cool.
And I'm deferring to Alex of like, okay, what's a cool combo to do things?
And Alex does things like, your character is a 15, 26, 43. That's 2 plus 7 plus 9 plus 18. Okay, so you need to roll a 12 or under.
Right.
And you're like, I don't even know where you came up with these numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You just... And he knows these things and just rattles them out. And it's like, you know... And then he's like, your class is Gunslinger, because my class is a Gunslinger. And so you can't do this, but you can do that. Oh, and next time you can do this with this and this and this feat.
Yep.
And I'm like...
And what's interesting is the GM will refer to his knowledge.
Yeah.
Because he is really knowledgeable of Pathfinder.
He's really, really good at this.
Yeah.
And then he constantly does things like the difference between Pathfinder and D&D.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll get confused because this is a rule in D&D but not in Pathfinder. And I'm like, I'm just confused with the numbers you just threw at me.
I would like to mention in regards to role-playing, our last session there was 0 combat.
Yep.
And it was Alex and myself, our characters, trying to get 2 other characters to have this mistaken
affair
by slipping them notes disguised as love poetry to each other so they would like fall in love with each other. And I don't know how many role-playing groups would like that type of thing, but we were having
a
blast
group was having
with that.
Way too much fun. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, we don't take our characters that seriously.
No.
And that's part of what was so much fun about it. That was what was so fascinating about it.
But for me, it adds a real flavor to it. It's you're not always out there trying to kill orcs. You're trying to let off steam and give depth to your character.
Right, you know? Right.
And my character is a 14-year-old who knows nothing about love but loves messing with people, and so this was right up his alley.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know what Alex's character's beef was with them, but he was having fun. So.
Yep. Yep. And of course, we have the gender bent.
Oh yes.
So it was the 2 girls in our role playing group.
One girl playing a guy.
Right. So we were trying to hook them up, and that was pretty funny too. And they were both going along with it like champs, so I got to give them props.
Yeah, they made their rows, and they detected this, that it wasn't accurate.
Yeah, they picked it up.
We did not succeed at what our goal was.
But it was still funny. Yeah, somewhere along the line, we'll have to give...
Well, I know my mistake is I should have written a meet me at the lake note.
Right.
Instead of poetry. And then they both would have met, and it's like, I thought you wrote the note, and that then maybe see where it goes from there under the moonlight by a romantic lake. But they were drinking. You know what spawned it is they were drinking so much in character. Their characters were
seriously sloshed.
And we're like, we've got to teach them a lesson. I think that's where that came, that triggered.
That's where
that
my
idea.
Character decided to just go back and start go working away. On it.
I'm leaving. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how I end up killing everybody tonight, because the whole point of Dread is everybody dying deaths, and it's a horror game.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of the horror genre, and so when I saw this, I had 100 ideas hit me immediately for different stories to run. So I'm looking forward to doing this. We're going to record it, maybe, and podcast it if it's not boring, or if it's only semi-boring and we think we can get away with it.
Yeah.
Much like this podcast we just did.
Yep. But this is, you know... I don't know. I think it was pretty interesting.
I'd like to thank Nikki, head of Malka. What's her official
title? Yeah, she's the
title?
Chair. She's sitting right
I'm
down there.
I'm not sitting on the chair. The chair's sitting there.
Yeah.
So thank you for the media passes and having us come out.
Yep, yep.
It's been
definitely
a blast.
Thanks for having us here. Thanks for hosting us.
Yes.
This show was sponsored by Myths and Legends Con.
It was. And although it's too late for you to attend this one, you should like them on Facebook.
Yep.
Keep up with them, and then that way when the next one rolls around... Jump in.
There you are.
And now I would also like to point out it is one of the cheaper conventions to come to because of its size being lower. So it's right there makes it worth it.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Well, there you go. I guess that's pretty much all we've got
that's
tonight.
That's all we got tonight. I got to go get ready for my game.
Yep. And I've been Guy.
And I've got to go get ready. I've been Troy.
And this is Geek Tank.
Geek Tank is a production of Fox Blade Media and is protected under the Creative Commons 3.0 license. Please give appropriate credit, provide a link to us, and indicate if changes were made. You may do so in any reasonable manner, but not in any way that suggests we endorsed you or your use in any non-commercial purposes. If you like Geek Tank, consider supporting us at patreon.com/foxblade. Thank you.